HiPhysics.co.uk.
Hi, you physics lovers out there, and welcome to a brand new edition of Mr. Malin's HelpMyPhysics.co.uk pod show number 5. And in this episode, in our standard grade zone, we'll be looking at filaments and elements. What exactly are they? And why do they heat up when the flex doesn't? You just can't wait, can't you? In our higher physics zone, the discussion will be about projectiles and the buzzwords surrounding those higher problems. We're now moving from summer into autumn, and a big astronomical event of this week was the equinox. Impress your physics teacher when you discuss with them about equinoxes. And if you're just heading towards your physics class right now, then crank up your volume on your MP3 or your iPod and just play some great music to make you smile. After all, you're going to physics. Enjoy this song from the Jelly Bricks.
Well, you can take your sweet old time. I am resigned to hang around on your front porch and outside your door. I'll rack my brain to let you know.
Yes, you're going to physics, higher physics or standard grade physics. It's your only smile of the day. And that was the Jelly Bricks from the Podsafe Music Network called Make Me Smile. Check them out in the show notes. And now it's time for our standard grade segment. Why is it that a kettle heats up water and the flex which delivers the electricity from the socket into the kettle, that doesn't heat up? This is a very interesting question, and the answer lies in resistance. Let's examine a kettle a little bit more closely. The flex which is plugged into the wall via the plug and the socket, and the electricity comes out of the wall and through the two pins of the plug and flows along wires into the element of the kettle. Now, the element of the kettle is a place where there's a high resistance. The wires inside the flex, which lead from the element into the wall, they're made of copper, and the electricity flows through there as though it's on the freeway, or the motorway, as we say here. There is no problem, hardly any energy is given up. But once the electricity reaches into the element of the kettle, the metal changes. Rather than copper, it becomes nichrome, and nichrome has more resistance. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like you walking along a straight road. You use up the minimum amount of energy. Then all of a sudden, you're asked to climb a large hill. That takes energy out of you. So when the electricity leaves the socket and goes along the copper wire of the flex, it has got no problem. It's a free ride. It's brilliant. There's no energy given up, hardly. When it reaches the resistance wires of the element in the kettle, then lots of electrical energy is changed into heat because there is a big resistance. The same thing happens inside a lamp. The flex from the socket leads right into a very, very thin piece of wire surrounded by a bulb of glass. Inside that bubble of glass, there's a gas called argon. We'll find out about why that is in a minute. But the little tiny filament is so thin that the electricity finds it very difficult to get through it. Or we say in physics, it's got a very big resistance. Now if you start to drive the electric current through that big resistance, then the wire will heat up. And the hotter the wire gets, it starts to glow bright, white, hot. It starts to give off light. Now if it was surrounded by oxygen, that little filament would quickly burn. Your lamps or bulbs would last, well, a couple of minutes. But if we suck out all the air and pump in argon, which is a noble gas, as you'll learn in chemistry, a gas which is very unreactive, then the little filament can glow white hot without ever burning. But the key point here is this. When the electricity passes from the flex, which has got very low resistance, into the filament, which will get very high resistance, electrical energy is changed into heat. And so much heat is produced that it glows white hot. So here we have the secret of filaments and elements. These are places in an electric circuit where the resistance is high, so high that the electrical energy is changed into heat or light. The flex, on the other hand, doesn't heat up because, quite simply, it is made of low resistance or very good copper, which has got hardly any resistance at all. Filaments and elements, where would we be without them? Welcome to the Higher Physics segment of the programme. Projectiles. What do we mean by a projectile? Well, the definition of a projectile is an object which only experiences the force of gravity. I'll give you a few examples of what projectiles really are. Take the pen out of your pocket and drop it towards the ground. That's an example of a projectile, because the only force acting on it is the force due to gravity, which causes the pen to accelerate downwards. Now with the same pen, throw it up into the air. That too is an example of a projectile, because once again, the only force acting on it is gravity, which causes it to accelerate down towards the ground. Now what about throwing something horizontally? Well, once again, that is a projectile. When you go and play some darts, it's projectile sport you're really doing, because when you throw that dart horizontally, the dart is pulled down by only one force, and that is gravity. Kick a ball an angle, or drive a golf ball off an angle, or throw a javelin off an angle, and that's an example of a projectile too. Projectiles are objects which undergo only one force, and in this case, it's the force of gravity pulling things down. Now, a very interesting problem in projectiles, and one which is ages old, is the case of the monkey and the mad hunter. I'll set the scene for you. A monkey is hanging from a tree and a mad hunter is several hundred yards away from the tree horizontally, at the same level as the monkey. Now the monkey thinks that when the hunter fires the gun, the monkey should see the flash of the gun going off, and that is a cue for the monkey to drop from the tree. When the monkey drops from the tree, the monkey reckons that the bullet will go sailing over its head and the monkey will live to tell a tale another day, thus frustrating the mad hunter. But is that the case? Let's examine it in the physics lab. One of the experiments we did in the physics lab only last week was we took two marble balls and we put them in a special device that fired one horizontally at the same time as it dropped the other one down towards the ground. Now the class suddenly became quiet, because what we're trying to find out was, did these two balls clack the ground at the same time? When I set up the experiment and pressed the little release trigger, then what did we find out? Yeah, the two balls hit the ground at the same time. So what was happening? Well, the first ball, as it fell down towards the ground, was acting only under the one force, gravity. The marble, which was fired horizontally, was once again acting only under the same force, gravity. So the two balls were acting under the same force of gravity. So the time for the ball to fall vertically was exactly the same time it took for the ball to go horizontally and hit the ground. Now, we go back to the monkey and hunter experiment, we can see that the poor monkey will never win. Because when the bullet is fired, that bullet will fall slightly under the force of gravity. And if the monkey releases itself from the tree at exactly the same time the bullet is fired, then that monkey will fall the same distance as well. So the monkey will not escape the bullet. It's a great experiment which teaches us really a great thing about projectiles. Horizontal motion and vertical motion can be considered separate. Now, don't be going phoning Childline after this podcast, worrying about who shot the monkey and what bad hunters are lurking out there. It was just a thought experiment, and us physics people love doing thought experiments. But here's another thought experiment which we could think of. If we capture that monkey and put it into a rocket and set the rocket off into space, then is that monkey rocket a projectile?
Silently on the ready, behind my metal door, I am strapped down into my cockpit, staring down a count of T-4. They've checked out all the meters, they have twisted all the dials, but it's T-3 with a rocket under me, and I'm 100 pounds of monkey style. Why heat up and wonder? Atmosphere displaced. 6,000 miles an hour. On the day they shot a monkey into space. My lips, they never quiver. My hands, they never shake. It ain't no thing but a rocket ship, baby, being shot out in the space. It lift off, drop me in the pocket of accelerated Newton's law on gravity. But you know that I can handle when you light my candle, cause it's nothing but a rocket to me. Why heat up and wonder? Atmosphere displaced. 6,000 miles an hour. On the day they shot a monkey into space. Okay. Scratch the skin of the universe, now falling way back home. 6,000 miles an hour, up upon the surface of the sun's third stone. I splash down right about lunchtime, I'm taking on a little sea. But you can strap me in, man, and send me up again, cause it's nothing but a rocket to me. Why heat up and wonder? Atmosphere displaced. 6,000 miles an hour. On the day they shot a monkey into space. I'm talking about the day they shot a monkey into space. I tell your mama about the day they shot a monkey into space.
Oh, mama, that was Jim Hodgson from music.podshow.com and the Space Monkey. And talking of space, it's time for the Space Zone. Cue the Space Zone. Now, in this edition of The Space Zone, we're going to take a look at what happened last week to the planet Earth. It went through its autumnal equinox. Now, what does autumnal equinox mean? Well, for most of us, it means this. It means the start of autumn. We're finally changing our seasons from summer into autumn. And as from September 22nd, which was the day of the autumnal equinox, we will notice something happening to the sun as it rises and sets between now and December 21st. Now, what's going to happen? Well, we can get a rough idea. The nights are going to get longer and the days are going to get shorter. We're heading towards winter. Now, why is that? Why is it this planet goes through seasons? And a simple answer is, as our planet goes round the sun, it has a tilt, and the tilt of the planet is at 23 degrees to what we call the big plane which the planet orbits around the sun. Now, that gives us the seasons, because at one part of the year, that tilt is away from the sun, which gives us winter, and at the opposite part of its orbit, that tilt is nearer the sun, which gives us our summer. And the two in between are the equinoxes, the spring equinox and the autumnal equinox. Now, at the autumnal equinox, as I said before, we move from summer into autumn. The nights get longer and the days get shorter. And a really good experiment is for you to watch this over a couple of months. Look out your window and make a little mark on the window with a felt tip pen, or maybe place something out the back if you've got a back garden, where the sun rises or the sun sets, and try and do that between now and Christmas. And you'll notice that the sun is setting more and more towards the south, and it's rising more and more towards the south. And also, the sun doesn't get as high as it was in the summer. In fact, every day now, the sun's height at noon is actually becoming smaller and smaller. Now, I used to watch this when I was a little boy in my own home, and I could always really tell when Christmas was coming because the sun always set above the local primary school. And when I looked at that primary school on Christmas night, when the sun was setting, lo and behold, every year, that sun set exactly at the same point. Now, all throughout Scotland, there are various standing stones, and many historians and archaeologists believe that was early man trying to make sense of the heavens, trying to make sense of this annual clock which we see plated in front of us. So the autumnal equinox signifies the start of autumn, leading us into winter. Now, come December 22nd, if we're still podcasting, that is, it will be the winter solstice, and that is when the sun begins its journey from the south back up to the north again, as we head back into spring and into summer. Now, please do that little experiment. Make sure you can see the sun setting, make a little mark, and watch how that sun sets more and more towards the south. And then it'll get to a point where it doesn't go further south anymore. And I bet you, it's near Christmas. Well, that's it, physics lovers, for another Mr. Malin's helpmyphysics.co.uk pod shows. See you all in a few weeks' time, and in the meantime, please take care. Bye for now.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!